White City. Nobody comes to Minnesota to take their clothes off. At least as far as I know. This ain't no nightclub. Here in the woebegone upper country, Jack Frost is a liberal, rangy sadist with ice crystals in his soul patch. Winter is the stuff of legend. Stillborn, snow-choked, still as the ice flows on the 10,000-odd lakes. The old mill cities are populated by generations of Scandinavian and German Lutherans, rugged souls hewn of blonde wood, good sense, and Christ love. The prevailing gestalt is one of wry survivalist humor and thermal underwear with the pins still in the folds. Even the food is properly covered. Everyone's favorite supper is a gluey, carbohydrate-rich concoction known simply as hot dish and served in community Pyrex. Minnesota is like a church basement with a leaky popcorn ceiling and a bingo caller who's afraid to amp things up past a whisper. A girl who would come to Minnesota to get naked night after night, to hustle for snow-dampened tens and twenties and Benjamins. Well, that girl is what a proper Minnesotan euphemistically calls different. The strippers here know it, too. Vegas, they say. I need to go to L.A. or Vegas. I could really bank there. But you sense they're going to stay up north forever, incubating themselves in tanning coffins to create the illusion of sun exposure, frosting their hair. In January 2003, when I was 24 and punch drunk on city life, I moved to Minneapolis from my hometown of Chicago. Like many millennial lonely hearts, I had met my boyfriend Johnny on the worldwide Waste of Time, specifically on a site devoted to the Beach Boys' psychedelic output and Brian Wilson's subsequent foray into radical therapy and pajama drama. Our courtship flowered into existence when Johnny sent me an intriguing email out of the clear blue. Turned out he had possession of a really choice Beach Boys bootleg, a rare instrumental snippet of I'm in Great Shape, dating from late 66. Only an elite clatch of tight-lipped fat guys had ever been privy to this recording, but Johnny gallantly offered it to me like a sonic gardenia. How could any virgin worth her vinyl resist? I accepted this token of geek love with an encrypted, virus-protected swoon, and a romance was hatched. Immediately, I pitched my then-boyfriend to the curb like a spent wad of bazooka. He was an okay dude, but I had an incurable case of Johnny fever. Soon we began sending each other highly confessional mixtapes and padded mailers. Nothing says true love like a smoke-colored Sony cassette with handwritten liner notes. Upon request, Johnny sent me photos of himself, his estranged wife neatly excised from each scene with the Photoshop crop tool. I racked up telephone bills that unfurled like the Magna Carta and hit the floor in tandem with my jaw. When a face-to-face meeting seemed imperative, we decided to jet separately to Los Angeles and rendezvous at the Whiskey-A-Go-Go like true rock snobbos. Panicked, I broke out in hives mere moments before our scheduled meeting. Luckily, Johnny disregarded my itchy, eruptive face and stared directly at my tits. We spent the remainder of the day cruising around Hollywood, swilling Corona Extra and holding hands, our clammy palms epoxied together with flop sweat. It was a first date for the record books, culminating in frantic nudity in a Marina del Rey hotel room. My mother, justifiably freaked by the prospect of my flying cross-country to meet a stranger, had predicted I'd come home in a body bag.